Hello and welcome to our Diocese of Cleveland Innovation Series, where today I'm speaking with David Corvey, a leadership coach with the Lynch Leadership Academy out of Boston College. David, welcome to our Innovation Series today.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited to chat with more with you about what's happening in our schools.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, Lynch Leadership, it's a name that I think some people around the diocese have become familiar with in the last couple of years. But tell our listeners, what do we mean when we talk about Lynch Leadership Academy? What is Lynch Leadership?
So there's a group of former school leaders, principals out of Boston College that we work together to provide leadership coaching, leadership development, you know, you want to call it professional development for school leaders. We have a flagship program in Boston, which is a fellowship. It's a year-long, pretty intensive fellowship. And then from that, we've created offshoots called microacademies. And so microacademies are pretty traditional partnerships with school districts, independent schools, charter schools, Catholic schools, really across the sector of all of education. And so we provide, you know, standard day-long professional development for groups of principals, as well as one-on-one executive level coaching. So job embedded, real time in schools, side by side with school leaders or aspiring school leaders. And really our goal is to create a network, a professional network of highly effective leaders who are doing this very important and urgent and hard work so that they can learn together and grow together and make our schools better for our kids.
Thank you. That is music to my ears or ours here at the OCE. We talk about our root beliefs, the leadership matters, excellence happens on purpose, and especially that collaboration is a force multiplier. Doing it together is the best thing for our leaders, for sure. But let's tell us a little bit about yourself as someone who you lead this micro academy and provide this coaching. How did you begin working with Catholic school leaders, and how, we're not in Boston here, how is it that this micro academy approach is here in the Diocese of Cleveland?
Great question. Yeah, I'm here. I reside outside of Cleveland now with my family. I'm a product of Northeast Ohio Catholic education. I'm a graduate of Gilmore Academy and left Ohio to go to college, got into teaching, ended up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the Camden, New Jersey area, where I was a teacher and a principal for a number of years before finding ourselves back here in this area, you know, kind of through and after COVID. And just happened to, through some professional networks, get picked up and do work with Lynch Leadership Academy. And I really started talking to people and just kind of building our network here. Again, a lot of people on this call, I'm sure, are familiar with James Connell at Ursuline and former superintendent. He's trained a lot of leaders in Northeast Ohio. He was really the catalyst that introduced me to just this desire and need for professional development for school leaders, particularly in our diocese. And so I just approached our executive director at LLA and asked if we wanted to expand outside of the Boston, Massachusetts market, and she gave me the green light. And so we're in our, I mean, we're in our fifth year now here. We started with just a handful of about 9 or 10 leaders who, you know, thankfully, fortunate for them, they put their trust in our group, and they self-selected and wanted to engage. And now I work and coach almost 60 different school leaders across Northeast Ohio in the Catholic schools, primarily between Cleveland and Youngstown. But those are principals, those are assistant principals. Some of them are teacher leaders who are just have become a part of our professional network here. So I have a big investment here as a product of Catholic high schools and Catholic schools in Northeast Ohio. Want to see them do really well and do well for our teachers and do well for our kids.
Thank you. Yes. And I got to say, from our perspective here, from the diocesan viewpoint, this has been high leverage. The experience that they have with you and with Lynch Leadership has been really time well spent and effort well spent in the service of leadership and serving their kids. And so let's talk a little bit more about what it is that they do. Tell us a little bit more about the micro academy. We have a micro academy here in Northeast Ohio. What are the areas in which you dive deep with leaders throughout the year or over years? And what's the benefit of doing that with a diverse group of Catholic leaders that you've brought together?
I think the best way to describe it is if people are familiar with any work of Ron Heifetz out of Harvard, he does a lot of work around leadership and specifically adaptive leadership. So the best way to describe it would be, you know, as an organization, you have technical aspects of an organization. in this example, it's a school. So you have technical aspects of a school. You know, the daily schedule, you have the yearly calendar, right? You have courses that study, right? You have all of these technical pieces, people's specific positions and roles and responsibilities, right? So those are all the technical structural pieces that make up any school, any organization. Transportation, right? Bell schedules, arrival drop-off procedures, all of those things make up the technical aspects. And those things are necessary, right? They're 100% necessary. And in our Catholic schools, you know, when you bring in school standards like the NSBECs, right? The NSBECs are something that we anchor a lot of our work in the Micro Academy here around spirituality, operational vitality, academic excellence, right? Those things are all the technical components of a school, right? We say prayer at the beginning of our classrooms, right? We have weekly mass, right? We have a curriculum that is rooted in the Catholic worldview, right? Those are all the technical aspects. So we definitely use the technical aspects of the structure of our micro academies. Teacher principals getting into classrooms and just observing teachers, right? Providing feedback to teachers. Teachers interacting with each other in common planning times or PLCs or whole faculty meetings, right? All of those pieces of the technical aspects of just running a school. Laced in between all of that is the adaptive piece. So then the adaptive piece is really the human side, right? It's the human, it's the beliefs, it's the values, it's the culture that is running through the building or running through your school community. And those are really like the unspoken things. Those are just in terms of just daily interactions with people, right? How people are thinking, how people are feeling about the work, how kids are feeling, how teachers are feeling, how parents are feeling as this collective community. And as that's one of the standards, right? One of the marks of a Catholic school is this, and Catholic Church in general is just like our coming together as a community. And so, you know, while we may use something like teacher observation as like our technical focus for the day, we're also asking principals to consider the adaptive challenges that come up when you're working one-on-one with the teacher, right? Is this teacher new? Is this teacher seasoned? Have they been at your building for a while? What are they bringing, right? You know, what are their values and beliefs? Are they Catholic? Are they non-Catholic? And those are all of really important pieces that you need as a school leader. And I particularly do this work because, and I tell everybody this is because I didn't have that, right? I didn't have a coach to tell me some of those things when I was a principal. I did the technical things really, really well. I could go into a classroom and observe and give a teacher feedback. You know, I could set up systems for accountability and systems for support. And I was, you know, I had my color-coded Google sheet and, you know, schedules and things like that. I could do the technical aspects very, very well. I've really had to grow on the adaptive kind of human side of things. And that's something that our Catholic schools do really, really well. They do really, really well on the human and the adaptive side of things and the beliefs and the values. So it's how do we leverage all of those pieces? So those are kind of the two areas that like are really threaded through topics of the Micro Academy. And then from there, it's really based on where the principals are at, what they need at any given time. So this year, we're really focusing on like one-on-one interaction and one-on-one coaching of anybody. Not just teachers, but of an assistant principal, you know, director of campus minister, you know, director of faith on the campus. You know, last year we jumped in and dove really deep into teams, right? How are groups of teachers just interacting, whether those are grade level teams or whether they're department teams, whether it's the principal's own team around them. So they're just varying aspects of the functioning and the daily functions of a school that we dive into and discuss and talk and share best practices and collaborate and hopefully come out on the other end with some ideas that can keep our schools moving forward.
That is, I've got to say, that's one of the great things I've seen from my distance and in the leaders I've talked to participating is this general themes that you're touching on with everybody, but the great degree of customization. You know, what does this look like in your setting when you leave the Micro Academy session and take it back to your school? And speaking of that, this is really the best practice is this 1-2 punch. There's the Micro Academy, the getting together in a group setting, but then there's also the coaching aspect, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about what the coaching entails, what that's like, and give a picture of that for our leaders that may not have experienced this?
Yeah, you kind of said it there. It's great coming together as a group. it's great coming together as like a network and collaborating and talking. And again, that's the necessary work I mean you do. But then you leave, right? You leave and you go back to your school or your island. And, you know, all of us who have been school leaders and principals or superintendents, you know, leadership can be a lonely place if you're not proactive about it. And so, yeah, I mean, the coaching, where our inroad for the coaching is, hey, we just talked about this larger topic of how a school functions or the impact, right? How does this fit your context, right? Using some of our schools here locally, right? How teachers work together in groups is going to look different at our Catholic grade schools than our high schools, right? Which high schools tend to be more content focused, content-based teams and grade, and then our grade schools tend to be more around like developmentally age grade level teams, right? A school like Cleveland Central Catholic, right, that's further kind of in Cleveland is gonna, you know, have some different challenges and just different contexts than a Walsh Jesuit that's a little further out, right? I'm kind of in more of a rural area down in Summit County, right? And so while the themes are universal, the context can change in the schools. And I think that's why, and then the leader also is a component of that context. So the importance of the leadership coaching, also a huge, huge piece that we do talk about is just self-awareness, is self-reflection, self-awareness. And so in those one-on-one coaching sessions, it's not my job to tell a principal to do something. I have thoughts and ideas and I have experience of my own. That's not my job. My role is not to come in and tell a principal they need to be doing this. My job is not to judge or evaluate a principal on what they're doing. My job is to listen to what a school leader is telling me and ask some questions back to them that hopefully get them thinking and processing and more self-aware of how they are actually leading their school, right? Are they behaving like are they behaving like a leader or are they not behaving like a leader, right? Are they making leadership decisions or not, right? Are they making leadership moves or not making leadership moves? So really that's where the importance of the one-on-one leadership coaching comes in, is to give principals a space to just think and process and become a little bit more self-aware of how they're leading their schools.
Thank you. Yes. And that's just, it takes a tremendous gift, or it takes a gifted coach to be able to bring those things out of the leaders.
I tell everybody, if you would have got me 5 years ago as a leadership coach, I would not have been able to do this. But again, it's the same thing as everybody in a school. If we are really a learning organization, you have to position yourself as a learner first. And that comes with me too, right? I have learned an incredible amount from the school leaders here, from the principals in our diocese, you know, from you, from McKenna, from Tracy, from Michael, from people that I interact with that are leaders in our diocese. I have equally learned as much in this process, and it's mutually beneficial. They're making me a better coach. I'm hopefully making them a better school leader. And in turn, we're improving our schools.
Definitely. That is the name of the game, the continuous improvement, getting as good as we may be today, getting better next week, next month, next year. And I'd love to talk a little bit about ways that leaders interact with this. Like instructional leadership, for example, is a thing that I know is heavily mm-hmm. emphasized. And as you've heard me say before, I sometimes regret that I think it's so important. We at the diocese spend a lot of effort on things that are around operational vitality, you know, figuring out our revenue, figuring out our tuition and our enrollment.
Sure, sure. Effort.
But the truth is enrollment follows quality. And when you have a quality classroom experience and great learning going on, those other things tend to take care of themselves. What do leaders engage with you on in terms of academic excellence? You made reference to like classroom observation. What are some of the tools they're engaging with, and how does this affect teaching and learning in their schools? Or maybe could you describe some of the shifts that you see once leaders have been working with you for a while in their buildings?
I think the best way to talk and chat about that is, what I observe and I hear is, you know, there's always this tension around Catholic schools, right? There's always this tension around academic excellence and then really like the Catholicity piece, right? And our Ohio accreditation system is kind of set up where you pick a goal that's Catholicity and you pick a goal that's academic excellence or anything. And actually something you said, this past summer when you popped into our first PD is, you know, they're not siloed, they're not separate, right? There's this intersection of them, and when you start to see them as an intersection and you see them complementing each other and working together, I think I have experience in the observations that I've made with our schools here is that things become clearer. And one of our beliefs at LLA is the purpose of a school is to teach kids, right? The purpose of the school is to learn, whether it's a public school, whether it's an independent school, whether it's a Catholic school, a faith-based school, right? The purpose of a school is to learn. Everything else revolves around teaching and learning, right? And so, you know, one of the core practices is that we do instructional rounds. We get into the classrooms with principals in varying schools. So all of our micro academy PDs, our days are at different schools. So I ask the leaders to host and we get into their classrooms and we see what's actually happening, because the majority of the time at school, kids are spending in time in the classrooms. They're spending in classrooms with each other, with their peers, with teachers. And that's where the bulk of the learning is happening, right? And so, you know, that is the core work of a school, of what is going on in the classroom. If you're a school leader who does not have the pulse of what is happening in the classroom, or who hasn't set a vision of what good teaching looks like, has clarified like, hey, at, you know, Catholic grade school, you know, this is what good teaching looks like in the classroom. This is what we want teaching to look like in the classroom. And then being very, very clear around that. And then coaching and training and developing teachers into when you teach at this school, this is what teaching looks like. And really, like, it's all the same stuff. Like, good teaching is good teaching. We know that. And so that's, I mean, we lean into the instructional leadership piece and the academic excellence piece, because everything else comes from there, right? Bring in the Catholicity piece in a Catholic school. It's still happening in a classroom. It's still happening in teaching, right? You're bringing in the Catholic worldview. Now, again, the technical components are, hey, are we saying prayer at the beginning, right? Are we interweaving theology into literature and math and science and all that stuff? Yes, those are like technical pieces, and they're very necessary. They're 100% necessary. But at the foundation of us as Catholics, it's a lot more about how we're treating each other and interacting. And again, that's happening in a classroom for the majority of the time in schools. So when we go into classrooms, we're not only looking at the teacher has an objective on the board, or the teacher said prayer, or, you know, we're not only looking at lesson plans, but we're also looking at just like, how are students interacting with each other? How are teachers interacting with students? How are students interacting with teachers? And ultimately, like, what are teachers asking students to do in the classroom as the learning activity? And if it is aligned to grade level standards and it requires kids to think and to talk and discuss, then teachers are on the right track. And that is part of our Catholic identity. That's academic excellence, right? That's what we're asking kids to do. Rigorous, high level work, discussion, critical thinking is an identity of our Catholic Church and schools. And so classrooms who don't do that, who don't offer that, you know, it begs the question, yeah, you know, is this really a Catholic school, right? Is this a classroom in a Catholic school? I mean, you can point to the history of the Catholic Church in terms of the technology and the innovations and the thinking and the progress that the Catholic Church alone has provided, you know, civilization and society and our society. In some classrooms, unfortunately, you walk into and you're not feeling that, right? You're not seeing that learning taking place. So if principals have that, they can just start that conversation with teachers. Hey, this is what academic excellence is at a Catholic school. Let's have that conversation.
Yes, and bringing it back to our purpose, our original purpose, our mission. Definitely. Yeah. Love it. In fact, some of our listeners might know we love it so much. The diocese has been partnering with you and with Lint Leadership Academy. It's so valuable. Our first year principals now, they've for a long time gone through what we call class. First year principals work primarily with the diocese on an orientation for their first year of principalship, class orientation, we call it. But then in the second year now, we have the cohorts coming to you to have this kind of coaching that you've described, their own little micro academy. That's how much we believe in it, because it just as you described, the the first year, boy, there's a lot of technical. If you've never done those state reports before, you spend time on that. And we dabble into the adaptive and the cultural, but you have to get your feet under you as a principal. And our belief is we do that pretty well in a group in the first year. And then they're ready. They're more ready to take off and fly with your coaching. But that's our new principal pathway now. There may be people listening to this who are saying, I am in one of the roles you described. I'm a principal, I'm a vice principal, I'm a teacher leader, and I'd like to get out in the action. What do they have to do? How can they be a part of the group here in Northeast Ohio?
The approach that you're taking around leadership development and leadership support is very important. And it's been great, right? It's really resonating with the leaders that I interact with, and understanding that this is a long game. And, you know, first year principals need different kinds of support. They need the technical, they need just the lifeline of how to navigate things. Second year principals, you got more bandwidth and perspective of things in your school and your learning. And then really school leaders start hitting their stride in years three and beyond, right? And that's where like the core work of being a school leader and like academic excellence and improvement is gonna happen. But yeah, to your point, in our cohort or in our Northeast Ohio Micro Academy, we have principals who have been at their schools for 8, 9, 10 years. We have third year principals that are, again, really kind of hitting their stride. We've got a couple assistant principals, and we do have a couple people who were former assistant principals, and now they've kind of found themselves back in the classroom, but they're teacher leaders and they wanted to stay within, connected to the cohorts. Yeah, really, it's a lot of just, if you're an assistant principal or a principal, or you have an assistant principal or an academic dean or someone. I think we actually do have one like dean of students as well who comes and interacts and works with our network. If you're interested in talking more, the PD days are open. We have generous funding from a donor who is, again, committed to supporting this work for our Catholic schools here. So reach out to me. Frank will drop my email, or we'll share my email, and you can come to any of the PDs. You can come to any of those. Those are just open at no cost to anybody who wants to attend and start interacting. And then we can always discuss more about the one-on-one coaching and how to get me into the building if that's something that you're interested in.
Definitely. Yeah. So thank you. That is something we hope that people listening to this will consider and think about how they can leverage these resources to transform the great things happening in their schools. And I feel like for our audience, as a professional leadership coach here with an outstanding reputation for excellence in this diocese, can you tell us, why does everyone need a coach?
You want the short answer or the long answer?
Hey, we've got editing tools here. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, so hey, I found myself in this role because when you're younger, you gravitate towards leadership, I think, because you're good at things, right? You know, sports or any activity that you're growing up with, you know, growing up doing as a kid, you become the team captain or you're looked to at your peers or by your teachers because you're good at it. And what you understand when you very quickly understand, hopefully, when you get into a leadership role, you know, in your career or in your job, is it's not just about being good at something anymore. You could be, I was a good teacher. I was a good athlete. You know, I played college athletics. I wasn't the best, but my ability to be a coach of someone, I think that's my niche, right? And I say there's one line around, like, you can't psychoanalyze yourself, so you need somebody else to bounce ideas off of. So for the Catholic school leaders, I always say you can't give yourself confession, right? You need that other person, right? You need that other person who is, again, is trained. And 5 years ago, I wasn't trained as this. I was trained as a principal. I was trained as a doer, right? And I didn't have a coach. But if you have somebody who is, you know, trained as a coach, and a coach's job is not to tell you how to do things. A coach's job is to create the conditions and the space for you to solve the problems on your own, to think through things, to process things, right? Maybe somebody to hold you accountable to doing things, right? But I mean, that to me is why everybody needs a coach, is because everybody is learning. one of the readings that we use is John Paul II's Faith and Reason, Ecclesiastical. And one of the passages that I put up as a key idea that we kind of constantly come back to as leaders in Catholic schools is what he says about the rules that govern us as Catholics. And he says it very clearly that life is a journey. We don't know everything, right? So one, life is a journey. And two, we don't know everything. So there's no way we can possibly have all of the answers. And so we have to approach this with humility, a learning lens, right? Because life's a journey and we don't know everything and we're learning. And then the last piece is, for the things that we don't know and we don't have answers to, then you put your faith in God. You put your faith, the fear of God, that's what he talks about, right? And those three things, this being a journey, having humility and wanting to learn along the way and having faith in God, I think is something with our specific group of school leaders and Catholic school leaders in general, I think it's something that they can really lean into as to why you need a coach. And it's nerve-wracking having a coach. It's you need to be vulnerable. You need to have some humility, right? It's actually having a coach, it's a good practice of being a Catholic.
Yeah.
But just having a coach.
Brings a lot of a lot of the expectations of us, of the faith and our own conscience and our responsibility, brings it front and center.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Beautifully said.
And I didn't know all of this 5 years ago. So I appreciate, again, I appreciate the Diocese of Cleveland. I appreciate the school leaders. I appreciate you and your team. And again, you know, McKenna and Tracy and Michael, who've supported and advocated for this and have given me the space to continue on my journey as a Catholic. Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful for our schools and our leaders and all of us. So thank you. I noticed last fall, Lynch Leadership had some PD sessions that were virtual sessions that were open to everybody that were advertised. How did that go? Is that something that we can look forward to in the future too, that listeners might want to check out and look for?
Yeah, we were piloting that this year. We did a lot of webinars during COVID. Again, just because of the constraints and everything, something that we wanted to get back to was offering those people who can't commit to a year-long fellowship, right? Or their district or diocese or anything may not be positioned to have a full-on microacademy. We wanted to be able to have a space to offer individual principals or leaders that they can still get interaction with our content, interaction with other people. So yeah, we had a series of, I think, five or six webinars this past fall. They went really well. We're hoping to roll that out again for next year. And so again, that's any principal, you can just pay the fee and use your school budget to just pay the fee and attend those webinars. I think they were 3 hours in the morning around a specific content. Again, ranging from the technical and the adaptive aspects of a school, of running and leading a school. I appreciate you shining a light on that. Yeah, because those opportunities will definitely be available again. And that also gives you the opportunity to interact with people, because our primary presence is in the Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Greater Boston area. So if people from Ohio, and I know some have already, but if you get into one of these webinars and jump on, like, you'll be interacting with people who, you know, are across states and doing the same work. And you'll find that it's validating. People are experiencing very, very similar things.
Yes. No, we can learn a lot from each other in our different settings, from our similarities and our differences. It's great to bring people together. Yes. And also, it's so important, the sharing of this work. That's, you described a few ways to share it. You also have a book coming out, right? Can you tell us a little bit about the forthcoming publication and when can we look forward to that and what's in there?
I also appreciate you asking about that because the book that is being published, I owe so much to the school leaders that I've been working with primarily here in Ohio, in Northeast Ohio, for that, because really, speaking about my journey and my learning journey, it came out of that work. It's being published by Routledge in May this year. It's called Fix Your Tier 1 Instruction, and it's applying what we know of good teaching, what we know is academic excellence in the classroom, and taking the same ideas, concepts, thoughts, frameworks, and applying that to how a principal then is leading their teachers and leading adults. And essentially what I'm saying is we're all teachers. If you're a principal, you know, you were a teacher first. And so the same things apply of how you taught kids in your classroom. The same approach applies to how we can lead adult and teacher development. And so what you essentially are is you are a teacher of teachers. And so I break down like the role of a school leader. I break down what is good instruction. And then I apply what we know of good instruction to how you can also lead faculty meetings, how you can lead grade level department meetings, how you can coach teachers one-on-one within the framework of just good tier one instruction of whole group, small group, and individual support for teachers. Again, so I appreciate you asking that because a number of our colleagues, those of that are listening here in the diocese, they contributed some of their own experiences and case studies that have come up for them in the last couple of years. So it was really a nice collective. And I hope that it lands, and I hope that it resonates and can help some people improve leadership, which improves their schools and student learning.
Definitely. Anything we can do to get these practices to scale and get this approach out there is going to be helpful for schools, helpful for learning, helpful for kids. So thank you. Is there anything else you'd like our audience to know about Lynch Leadership Academy?
I think we covered a lot of it, Frank. I appreciate your thoughtful question. Other than just advocating and pushing for people to participate. Again, I'm a big believer in the community aspect of this work, and you can't do this work by yourself. There's just no possible way. I mean, it's complicated, it's complex. When you're working with humans, it gets messy.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah, you need a group of people, you need a community that you can lean on and lean into. And so if you're looking for that community, if you're looking for that professional network, reach out and we'll welcome you with open arms and get you introduced to our network.
That is beautiful to hear. Thank you. Thank you so much for your leadership. Thanks for taking the time to explain it to those who are listening here to the Innovation Series. And thanks for the continued good work you're doing in the Diocese of Cleveland.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless.